we realised that if we're going to keep going, if we're going to hold space schools every year or more of them, and we needed some sort of reliable source of funding, Brian's very, not being a university person or anything, not used to getting grants, doesn't believe that we should be out sort of chasing government grants, although I do. he seems to think we've got to try and find business support and come up with our own ways of making ends meet. I will mention the fact that it's still running. Roughly gets about 80. We've cut it back to about 80, mostly because the international students make up a huge number, ever-increasing number. Right from the word go, well, the first year we advertised this, we ended up with 35 internationals, which was sort of more than we anticipated. And we've had people from as far away as Argentina. I have no idea why they ever, how they even heard about it, to be honest. Anyway, Argentina, virtually every European country. We had a delegation from Russia once from their space camp that they hold there, a space school. If you're really into rocketry, you might know. Was it some sort of secret city in the middle of Siberia? Anyone?
More than one.
More than one? Yeah, they... not Star City. I know the name of the place, but I can't remember. But they said you can't write to us because... I'll think of it. I just cannot remember. But anyway, it was a group, the mayor and the principal of the school. They wanted these programs, but they said their biggest problem was the fact that most Russians didn't know the city existed because it wasn't allowed to be known or something for its rocket bases. Anyway, they've been out England, France, Germany, Belgium. They're a great asset. They really are a fantastic bonus for our kids to come across students of the same age. We do have adult teachers, adults from overseas as well. And sometimes we talk them into giving an informal address at AISS, which is about, what their experiences are. Basically, space education around the world is pretty stagnant in that there's not really any super high-powered programs in any school. Americans, of course, know a lot more about their own space program, but they don't necessarily know that anyone else does anything. Strangely enough, again, we get more interest from overseas countries who actually want to join up with the Galactic Circle through... There's a thing down here that should be there. It's called Young Astronauts International. Has anyone ever heard of that one group? Well, Young Astronauts is a huge American-based, Washington-based organisation, which is really just a tiny office. Their office would only be a quarter of the size of this room. But they produce classroom resources and science fiction books and things like that. It was sponsored by the American government, not anymore, but it's huge in terms of other countries, especially Asia. In Japan, there's about 20,000 young members, young astronaut members. In Korea, there's about 50,000 young astronaut members. Hong Kong's got smaller numbers, but we're on talking terms with them. Now, the idea here is what's happened is that there's been exchanges. Out of the blue, we got a phone call asking from the Commonwealth government asking us to take some students to Korea, find some students and take them for the 50th anniversary of the end of Japanese rule in Korea. And so we hastily dug around and found six students. They were a bit older than the young astronauts, which is one of the things that started us to think, well, we need to go younger. Again, because once they leave us at 16, the next year they're 17, and then they're at university and they've got other interests. So we wanted to make sure we could use some of the students. So, when they join, this is a sort of a membership form, there's hundreds of these, they get an Orbit magazine with updates and photos of kids and articles about space aimed at primary school level. There is some marketing of products like T-shirts and water rockets and that sort of thing, which keeps us going in that area. And what else? I'm not too sure what else they get. Backpack, etc. So they get some club membership. It roughly costs about $25 a year, and it's designed to sort of mimic the CSIRO Double Helix Club, if you've heard of that one. It's probably the biggest club in Australia, 25,000 members or so in Double Helix. And it's a CSIRO organisation thing, and we had a lot of talk with them to make sure we didn't conflict with their aims, etc. Anyway, the Galactic Circle Space Club, 1,000 members would be lovely to see if it was bigger and better, because I suppose, like in your organisation, these things cost money. You know, you wonder whether at the end of the year, the $25 that they pay, whether it actually covers anything, because you know when you get six magazines and the postage and the caps and the other things, you know, it's sort of good value for money for them, although some of them say that they want more. What they want more of is more activities, and that's a very difficult thing with you know, members all around the place, but we're looking into that. Alright, so that's the Galactic Circle, and there's plenty of information about that one there. How successful has the Galactic Circle been? Well, we've hosted the Young Astronauts International Conference this year in New South Wales University, and there were 350 or so students, and each year we get visits from Korean students. As you probably well know, everybody likes to come to Australia, and it's really just a question of what we can do. We're all of us are volunteer, part-time, whatever you want to call us, and you know, we've got other jobs to do, and we've got limited time to spend on trying to cater for all of these things. Teacher training conference, I'll just put this up. This is newish. We ran one in South Australia when I went across there last month, actually, to the DSTO, and we held one in Sydney New South Wales University just recently. But again, it's meant to be aimed at primary school teachers. When I went to America both times, the international teachers were all physics teachers. You know, does that surprise anybody? When it goes to the government office in Italy or something, the education department of the government or whatever sends off the fax to the closest university, and then the university picks someone who's involved with first year university or high school, etc. And yet all the Americans are all primary school teachers, and it was noticeable that they knew nothing at all about science, let alone space science. And at the other end of the scale, you had all these international teachers. Some of them were, you know, working with space research programs themselves, and the level of their knowledge was, you know, well and truly above everyone else's. And nonetheless, it became obvious that we had to try and get some more primary school teachers to go over there so that they could establish better links. And so all of the American teachers are what they call Teachers of the Year over there, and it's a community sort of award, and they get selected to go to this camp as one of the prizes for being their teacher in each state. Some of them get thousands of dollars, others get a free air ticket, and others get nothing. But they all meet the president, and they also have other things like that. It's quite a prestigious award. And when I got back, I tried to find out what we do in Australia, and the answer is pretty much predictable. But I did come across an organisation called NITA, which is, and they run an award scheme, which again is a community-based one, and the recipients, 10 recipients a year win a cash prize. So I went to Melbourne and did a deal with one of them and said, look, if you want to nominate a primary school teacher, we'll send them across to the International Space Camp. And we did a deal with that, and we've actually sent a teacher across this year who was primary trained. They're from Queensland and a principal in a Queensland school, and it's communication is still difficult to work out how we can use them. But it is essential for us and essential for everything. When there's so much information on the net and available to kids, the teachers are really being left behind. And unless we can get something going, or somebody else can get something going, we see sort of hard times ahead. It's important for everybody. Basically, we want to run them in states, in every state if we can, similar to what the smaller schools are. We've now got trained staff who volunteer, take their time off school virtually, or do it in their leave break, to go to these places and try and run programs. So that's something that we're trying to run. And they are cost recovery in that, you know, that they cost something like whatever, $160 or $180 for the time. And either the school pays that for the teachers or they pay themselves.